Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Today's episode is a special replay episode of the About Last Night podcast with myself, Brad Williams, Jaleel White, and Guy Tori. It's the Black Christmas special. A couple of black dudes, a couple of white dudes, and we hash it out, talk it up, and talk all things holidays, Christmas, and see what it's like in the non-white version of Christmas. And it's so fun, so funny. Two masters of their craft, and just a big giggle fest for an hour plus. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Have a great rest of your holidays and an even better new year. We'll see you in 2024 for more About Last Night podcast. Big stuff coming. Stay tuned and enjoy the episode. Good night, everybody.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Happy holidays, happy holidays. May the very sounds it's ringing and the vaccines coming soon.
Happy holidays. Hope you guys are having a great end to your 2020. This is a special ALN. We've been having a lot of heavy hitters lately, but today's episode is a throwback episode to pre-COVID, to pre-me by myself. It was me and Brad rocking and rolling with two just beasts in the comedy world, Jaleel White and Guy Tori, who joined us for a very special ALN Black Christmas. That's right, baby. Jaleel kept hitting me up, being like, dude, you don't even know what Black Christmas is all about. I was like, come on the pod. Let's bring a homie. Guy Tori's one of the funniest dudes out there. And Guy and Jaleel break down Black Christmas for Brad and I and for all of you. And it's a classic episode. I mean, I still get messages about it. And a lot of people, honestly, were asking if I was going to put it back up. And it just seemed only fitting because you know, you want a couple extra laughs. And a regular episode just didn't seem appropriate. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Follow Guy Tori and Jaleel White on Instagram and Twitter. At Guy Tori, at Jaleel White, at Brad Williams on Instagram, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. And go get my album, I'll Take It From Here, my all crowd work album, available wherever you get your music or podcasts. And of course, get ready to see me on Young Rock this February on NBC, the show about Dwayne The Rock Johnson's life. Went to Australia, shot that baby for 5 weeks. It's finally coming out. Cannot wait. Pickles, chill. Pickles is feeling like she's kidnapped right now in the room with me while I record this intro. Happy holidays for my dog Pickles. I made it super weird with one of the folks in my building when they went to pet Pickles. And I said, hey, careful, she's in heat. And he looks at me and goes, what? I was like, I was just making a joke. He's like, you think I'm trying to fuck your dog? And I was like, no, I don't. Well, now I actually don't know because I'm very confused. It was clearly a joke, but the fact that you're not picking up on it makes me think that maybe you do want to. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't talk to that guy anymore. But you don't have to know everybody. Just respect people and their journeys, except bestiality. Anyway, hope you guys, again, enjoy your holiday, your Christmas, your Kwanzaa, your Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating. Enjoy it. Find some silver linings if you can. And I think we're all looking forward to 2021. We will be closing out the year with a couple ALN best ofs, part one and part two, like we always do, because those are a fun look back, and man, if we had a great year of guests, and got to go back and pull from that and post the highlights. So that will be coming for you in the next few weeks, as well as Melissa McCarthy's return to the podcast before the end of 2021. And of course, I'm going up to Seattle to interview Sean Kemp on January, I think the first week of January, at his cannabis store in Seattle. Can't wait for that. A lot of exciting things planned for 2021. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you guys supporting. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Me at Adam Ray Comedy. Go get my album. I'll Take It From Here. And just stay tuned. More good stuff coming. I love you guys. Enjoy this special ALN Black Christmas episode with Guy Tori, Jaleel White, myself, and Brad Williams.
Well, the weekend's over. so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
If you could turn me more up in the headphones a little bit too, that'd be dope.
Sound like one of those rappers that can't rap. Turn my mic. I need a headphone. More headphones. Trying to stall to you. Try to find a battle rap.
I need a snare.
There you go. Perfect.
Right. I need some more snare in my headphones.
Perfect.
I like that smash up. Collision Course.
Thanks,
with Jay-Z and Linkin Park. One of the best.
Yeah.
DVD. They had a bonus DVD where they actually show them doing everything.
Right.
So dope.
It's always interesting, like, as people that are in show business and people that are creative people to watch other people create and do what they do. And especially people that are totally at the top of their game, like Jay and,
Jay, I watched the other one when Timbaland's and they're giving Jay Jigga beats and he just sees this and they're like,
did you see the movie about making the Black Album?
Yeah.
My favorite scene is when Timbaland's just going through beats, and then
that's the big Timbaland too.
Fat Timbaland. Yeah. And then they get to that point where I think it's the beat for Dirt Off Your Shoulder.
Yeah,
and
when you see Jay's face,
it just lights up. He's like that one.
Yeah, you see him go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just start bouncing.
Yeah, and then he like just starts feeling. You're like, oh, like it's so amazing how that just spoke to him in that one moment where it's like, oh yeah, I can do something with that.
Yep. That's how it is, man.
Who were your like music influences when you were growing up? Like, who were you into?
Man, you know what's funny? Because I was a big jazz fan.
Yeah,
like jazz. Like, I mean, you know, I fell in love with Sade. You know, the Sweetest Taboo video and them jeans she had on riding that horse. You know, but then, man, I was a big jazz fan, man. I like Sam Cooke. My dad, you sit back with my dad and listen to, you know, the oldies, man. Yeah. Sam Cooke, Smokey Robinson, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes and those things. Then hip hop came along, mm-hmm. and my dad did not want it in the house.
Really? Oh,
get that shit.
Was that pretty consistent with most parents when it came to be? Yeah.
The hippity hop, and we went to Catholic school too, man. So, you know, it was really forbidden, but we snuck and listened to the shit.
I was going
to
say, there's got to be a way to sneak that type. I mean, in every Catholic school,
but
people were sneaking.
But the funny thing is, my
habits.
Dad had Richard Pryor records in the house.
That
nigga's crazy. I remember the album cover clearly, and he didn't like hip hop. It's just a different form of music. He didn't know what it was.
These kids in their damn music. You know what? I'm finally getting to that part now. I'm 31. And I've gotten to the point now with like some of the EDM and the where I'm trying to be like, those kids in their beats.
I don't know what those are. They're
synthesizers.
Yeah. It's just like head nod music.
It's just background music for them to trip. It's just for the
trip out.
Yeah. It's just for the drugs to have something to assist when they are, you know, dry humping a pole so that it doesn't look totally like abnormal.
Yeah.
And the lights, you got to have the lights too. You got to flash the lights to make it, they go hand in hand.
Only one time have I really been to a rave where I wasn't even on ecstasy or anything that was, I mean, a little weed, but like that's not enough. You can't be
laced with, get some moon rock.
Just a little bit weed laced with coke, ecstasy, and heroin. But like
basic
other than that,
stuff.
Man, a couple Red Bulls. I try to allow myself to get into like the entire like experience of like the songs, because the way they build to like and just an explosion of every sense.
Yeah.
And these kids next to me, like I tried to get into it, but I'm watching them like who are fully experiencing, like losing their minds.
Yeah. Eyes closed. There's no, they don't know where they are.
No.
They're stepping on your feet, throwing up on you.
It's like mosh pit meets. Yeah.
Meet crazy white people.
Well, isn't that what a mosh pit is?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we just find new and inventive ways to
I went
crazy.
To a mosh pit one time. I went to a Korn concert one time in Orange County, which is skinhead capital.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's where I'm from. I didn't know about the skinheads.
We don't know what you do at night, Brad.
It is
no
true.
Idea.
You drive away very inconspicuous.
Exactly. with shifty eyes and shit.
Yeah, Brad's always like, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Why you say it like that, man?
But I was managed by the same people who used to manage Korn back in the day.
Oh, shit.
So I went to a Korn concert in Orange County, man, and it was at Airhead Pond.
Right, yeah, the pond. Yeah,
it was
Ducks play.
Yeah. That's as close to hell I ever want to be, man. Because, no, I'm serious. I left the floor because it was nothing but skinheads there. Skinheads and a few Crips and a few Bloods.
Wow.
And they had the pyros and shit going. Mm-hmm. So I went up and left and went up to the skyboxes. I'm like, I'm not. And then looking down on it, that shit was crazy, son.
Wow.
Crazy.
And you're just like, I'm not going.
And I got looks when people looking at me because, you know, doing American History X, a lot of skinheads watched that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was their
anthem. There's hey, we can finally buy a movie.
Is that Lamont?
Yeah. And that would not, because before to find any movie where skinheads are in it, they have to buy, some weird
cult following movies that they did on their own. Skinhead movie that they did.
Exactly.
Wait, so what, did you roll solo or did you roll with the
I went the solo, actually.
Wow.
But I met my manager there.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did roll solo.
That seems like quite the gamble.
And I actually rode in that's when I was feeling myself back then. I took a limo.
Oh, shit. Jesus.
Yeah, because I knew I was going to drink, too. I wasn't going to, you don't go to Orange County black.
No. Yeah.
You don't go sober black.
No, man, when I went to a Third Eye Blind concert recently, I rented a limo for six people.
Yeah. But that's, you know, by I was the way, by that's myself.
Could you ever admit your whiteness more?
Right.
You know, back at the Third Eye Blind concert. And, yeah, you know what?
As I drove past the homeless on Skid Row in downtown LA.
Smash Mouth opened up. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Driving by the homeless singing, how's it going to be? Yeah. okay, so then who, comedy-wise, who were so your dad had...
But I got it after the whole hip music thing, let's finish that whole thing, was like, you know, the hip-hop game, you know, Public Enemy, Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, original Beastie Boys.
Can you even, because I don't remember being really privy to that...
Because you see a limo with six motherfuckers in.
No, I'm saying, but I grew up in Seattle during the grunge era, right?
Okay,
but
like, okay,
I was in, I was 12 when it was really happening. So when people were like, "You must have loved Pearl Jam," I was like, "Dude, unless he covered Hakuna Matata, I was waiting to like The Lion King and shit."
you grew up gay.
Dude, everybody loved The Lion King.
he switched 3 years ago.
Okay, yeah, he's great.
Hey, guy doesn't know me, man. He's gonna believe. He's gonna take everything you say.
No, I see that. No, is that you got a deep cut V neck shirt on? That's like that. Yeah,
that's a deep V.
Yeah, deep V.
It's not even a V though.
It is. Well,
that's even worse. At least Lion's is in style.
I would love to know. Yeah. Now, could I make the same assessments about your button-up flannel?
Yeah, man. What's up? 5'4" clothing line.
You look great. 5'4"?
5'4".
Dude, yeah. They sponsor you?
Yeah, they sponsor me.
They're the best.
Me.
So you know Andres really well.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, come on. Yeah, he's my boy.
And then he brought his own headphones. Guy Tori brought his own headphones that matched the shirt. Yeah, just to know.
That's fucking black people. We care about how we look, not what we're going to say on stage. You know, it's like if we do a 15-minute set, it's an HBO special. We got to put our clothes out on the bed, the whole nine. But the headphones didn't happen because, man, you know, Brad, we and Brad run into each other all the time at the airport.
We are airport buddies.
Yeah,
like,
man.
We're always on the same flights.
Road warriors, man.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of shows, you know, down south, man.
Yeah.
And these some of these mom-and-pop radio stations, for one, they still got Jerry Curls down in the goddamn
Do they
south.
Really?
So you put the headphones on the radio station, give you, and they got Jerry Curl juice all in the damn ear hole. So now your ear look like you put Vaseline all on, like you a boxer and shit, like you Floyd Mayweather. But then some of these cheap-ass radio stations, man, were still some from the airlines. So now you have American Airlines headphones that they're giving the guests. And it's a short in it. So now you gotta stand on one leg, hold the cord, and listen to your set. You sound like Katharine Hepburn talking. And it's just in and out, shaking. So I said, you don't bring my own shit.
That's gonna be the first Katharine Hepburn references on
Remember
the
podcast. Remember, she was like, she was losing.
She would always talk like
exactly.
That, yes. That was Katharine Hepburn's voice.
Oh, and she moved when she talked. Like, stop, bitch.
She would move her head back and forth, but she didn't have Parkinson's. It was very strange.
Yeah, that was just a choice.
It was just what she did. That's how she got the voice to do that.
Exactly.
I blew Howard Hughes, you know.
Okay, so now can you do the Katharine Hepburn impression?
Get it?
Yeah, get it.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of shows down south. Why, yeah, man. Now, what? When do you figure out that that's like where you're? You have a lot of.
I go everywhere, but some of them are down south, and you have these little cheap ass radio stations. So
yeah,
you know, they haven't been taken over by the iHeart and them yet. They just have their own shit going on.
Yeah, dude. There are literally some radio stations, and it's weird because when you're not around the world of radio, you just kind of have this fantasy about what it is.
Right.
And if you've
a lot
only,
of ugly people, first of all.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing radio.
And if you've only seen like clips of like the Howard Stern show.
Right.
Then you're
right.
Like, oh, so every studio is like this big studio with all these lights and shit.
Man.
No, like, and there's stations where you go and it's literally a house.
Pieces of shit, yeah.
It's just like.
Now, this is somebody's crib. This is somebody decided to open a radio station in their fucking garage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. What's up?
Getting Jaleel a drink. He just Jaleel's on the way, and he texted.
Okay.
I go, "What do you want?" First of all, he texted, "Is guy showing you his extensive porn on his phone?"
Uh oh.
I had porn on my phone.
apparently, the rumors have gotten to Jaleel.
Man.
And then I said, "What do you want?" He goes, "Something festive: apple Ciroc and cider."
Apple Ciroc.
Yeah.
Apple.
That's the new one that Puffy got, you know, Puffy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a vodka drinker too. I got my Moscow Mule. I don't have a copper mug though. That's the problem.
That's the way to go with it, right?
Gotta have a copper. I usually travel with my own copper. I take my own copper mugs to clubs.
Shut
a lot of the improv with Funny Bones.
Wait, say that 10 times fast.
I take my own copper mule.
Get out of here.
Because a lot of the clubs don't have the mugs because people steal the damn mugs.
Right.
So I got like 16 of them because I forget to pack them.
Yeah. Right.
So I have to go to a store, a Crate and Barrel, which is expensive. I really like going to TJ Maxx. $9 at
Secrets
TJ Maxx.
Revealed. Yeah, Guy Tori shopping
That's
behavior.
Right. At TJ Maxx. Yeah. Copper mugs. So I bring my own copper mugs, man. And, you know. It's not the same in a
it's
damn
not.
Glass, man.
It's not. It's like drinking
it's
a,
ass mule,
it's like drinking
man.
A Guinness in a fucking
it's goddamn
wine
Moscow
glass.
Moscow Pony. It's not a goddamn mule.
I love that you bring your own cop mug though. What? And it's just because it just feels better for you.
It does, man. People and then on stage. It's funny because now when I'm on stage and I'm drinking and I have my copper mug, people are trying to figure out what I'm drinking. First of all, those who don't know about a Moscow Mule,
totally
right.
And then the ones who do, like they try to order it. And then somebody will bring it to him, and I see him like, this ain't the little brother. Like, this ain't no copper mug. Give me that shit that he got. The brothers don't fuck around.
Right.
Give me that shit he got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, we don't have it, so. But then, fuck that. Where you get your mug from, guy?
Yeah. During your bit.
Yeah, right. Cancel the mule. Give me goddamn apple Ciroc. That's Ciroc. Ciroc. So what? Yeah, that puppy shit. They can't say, some brothers can't say Ciroc.
Right. So they just had to say, like, give me that puffy vodka.
Give me that puffy shit. Yeah.
And now, is he back to Puff Daddy now? What is he called?
I really believe that commercial that he did for Macy's when he cloned himself. Puffy is every damn where, man. But he's one of the hardest working men in the game, man.
Yeah.
And he's smart as hell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, smart as hell.
And he's got a son now that's, he's going to be on UCLA or something?
I think his son went back, because he got into it with the coach.
Yeah, he got into like
the coach up.
Yeah, he got into a fight with a kettlebell.
Yeah, and then Snoop Dogg's son, he used to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he took one hit in college. Like, hey, for Dizzle, Dizzle, Desi, his house is here. Dizzle, Dizzle. He saw Ice Cube's son acting like, hey, I'm going to take that route here, so my Dizzle. Fuck these Enzinzos. I'm not catching these pizzazzles and these shizzbizzles with these brewizzles.
That's right. Puffy's son.
They did a whole reality show on him
son.
In high school.
Yeah, trying to pick his college.
A whole season of him going to moving to Vegas.
Right.
In order to play with this great school and him, you know, and then you get to UCLA.
He lasted like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
And then he's like, I'm out. Now,
peace.
Do you think it's like because people went easy on him in high school because he's
come on, you got a target on your back. On your back when you like, especially when you your father is a dog father. You know,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but
so
like
they hit harder in the college.
Yeah,
in the Pac-10.
Okay,
they hit harder. This ain't Vegas.
Yeah,
you know, we talking college football. We talking about men who young men who grew
will
up
be
in the hood.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Who want to hit you because Snoop fucked their mama.
The crazy part is,
yeah,
that's probably true. Yeah. In a lot of cases where some guy's just lying up like, my mom has told me stories.
Yeah.
I do not fucking like this guy.
You know what's so, you know what's so crazy to me about Snoop is I was talking to somebody the other day about how I was like, man, I got to really, you know, I've cut significantly back on my weed intake, but now with just more voiceover gigs and shit, I'm like, I really can't do it. And then somebody goes to me, they go, man, Snoop smokes probably a million times more than you do, and he still fucking sings. So
Snoop
shut
up. Cool though, man. Mm. Like, when
I think also his lungs, like
use your diaphragm, man.
Yeah, but also, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, it's how the weed also is a
you can't compare how you smoke weed to Snoop.
Right.
That's like,
yeah, you can.
Matter of fact, you
stepping
and Snoop should have been in the same goddamn sentence.
Yeah, you can't.
All right, I should have started that sentence with, "All I want to do is smoke weed with Snoop Dogg."
There you go.
A few times.
Oh my
god. And I'm not
god.
A weed smoker.
Yeah, but how do you pass up that opportunity?
But you know what?
And that's what it was.
And that's,
like,
of course,
the hell
dude.
In.
Yeah.
I've heard that story from a handful of people, by the way, where
dude,
they're like, I don't even smoke, but it was Snoop.
I smoked, and we did a movie together called Ride back in the early 90s. In the mid-90s, did Ride in Florida with Luke and Cedric Entertainer and all that stuff. So smoked in his trailer then.
Jesus.
And then I was in Montreal, of all places, doing a movie. He had a concert. So ended up going to the concert.
Unbelievable.
Went to the dressing room, blazed. Mm-hmm. And then I was in Kansas City doing a charity basketball game. Snoop was at a festival.
Yeah.
Went in the dressing room, blazed.
It sounds like a Travel Channel show, like smoking around the country with Snoop Dogg. Yeah.
So I smoke, like, you know, and it's crazy because the only time I like to smoke is when I'm with a chick and we about to get it in.
Yeah.
About to tear that ass up. Because I'm like Magic Mike high.
Shit. You
turn
it up.
I got my pony song on. I got the six pack. I'm sexy as hell when I'm high and I'm having sex. But when I'm sober, I suck.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I don't. That's just your former sexual preference. I don't suck. And then, like, last Wednesday, a week ago, I was at Club Nokia, and they had the West Fest with Bone Thugs and Harmony, Dog Pound, DJ Quick. And
DJ
Corrupt.
Quick.
Dude, Quick.
So much
Corrupt
weed.
Gave me some Moon Rocks. I don't know what the hell Moon Rocks was, but I can't be a punk. He's like, guy, you want to fuck with some of these Moon Rocks? I was like, yeah. Like, I knew what the hell it was.
You thought they were like Pop Rocks, like something you get at 7-Eleven?
Well, they had Moon Rocks growing up. They had Pop Rocks and Moon Rocks.
Yeah.
I'm like, these ain't the Moon Rocks I fucking grew up on. Because they look like they was like weight balls, but weed balls.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
Like, it was a weed dude, and his balls fell off, and they fell into my hand. Because it was green, and they were like, they weren't buds, but they were kind of brown, blackish, greenish, and I still got them.
And you squeeze them and you cough. Same thing.
Is that what it is? Automatically just bend over.
How were Bone Thugs?
Were great. I ain't gonna lie, man. I mean, dude, Corrupt.
Do they open or close with Crossroads?
They close with Crossroads.
You have to.
Yeah. But it was so, man. Was from the contact, just being in Club Nokia.
I was gonna say,
because
they're not trying to regulate security wise. They're not they're like, we know what this show is,
right?
You know what this show is when you bought a ticket to it,
right.
So they're probably giving you papers on upon arrival.
And I was afraid because I do my show Fat Tuesdays at Club Nokia.
Yes,
and
you do. Show once a month, right?
Once a month, yeah, man. We just had one last night, man.
Yeah, this is once a month, Club Nokia. And downtown LA, who are some of the people that come on the show?
I had Lavelle Crawford, man. I had Tommy Davidson, had my brother Joe Torre, had Tony Rock, and I had Lunell, you know, Lunell crazy ass. DJ D-Rec was on the ones and twos. Second show, I had D.L. Hughley.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I had Steve Wilson.
Oh, shit.
It was a great show. I had Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah, that was a great show. And my man Dion Cole.
Dion, friend of the show.
And then last night, I had Gary Owen.
Yep.
I had Gene Hardy, up-and-coming comedian who's funny as hell. I had Melanie Camacho, who's open for everybody.
Yeah.
Like Martin and Tommy and Jamie Foxx and Chris Tucker.
I also had
Lorel on the show from Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
man.
Who's on the Gerard
Carmichael
show.
Yeah,
he's funny as hell, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
That's a great
show last night. Mama stole the show, though.
Your mom.
My mama's birthday is today, so she came in town last week. I brought her to the show last night, brought her on stage, gave her a cake and everything. She grabbed a mic. Man, I'm going to post the videos. My mom.
What did she do?
I love my mama. I didn't even give her the fucking mic. She just took the motherfucker.
Wow.
And was like, let me get that. And my mom is, you know, she's very spiritual, so she starts speaking in tongues and shit. And white people, y'all don't know that shit. Because my business partner is white. He's like, what language is he speaking? Jesus, motherfucker.
Yeah, if he didn't know.
What language is Jesus?
She's speaking to Jesus.
She's speaking to, and then she started dancing, man.
What was he? Can you get? I mean, any sort of a?
I got the video on
can
it,
you,
man.
Can I'm we play it into the mic? Can you hear it?
Oh, you know what? We can't hear it, man. Actually,
that's
you
great.
Know what? You actually can. I'm gonna play my mama, man.
I mean, the hell, she raised,
son.
You know, two of her sons are comedians.
Yeah, well, everybody in the house is a comedian. We just only stupid enough to do it professionally.
Who's the funniest in your family?
I am, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, my mom and my dad, we lost last year. He was the funniest. And my mom was freaky funny. Like my dad was more storyteller.
Yeah.
And embellishing shit. My mom was just. You know, my mom had whole tendencies, I think. I'm just saying. Because it's six of us.
Yeah.
And three of us, we don't know if they really my dad's. my dad was in the military. He was stationed overseas a lot.
Right.
The motherfuckers don't look like my dad. They look like...
whole tendencies. I think whole tendencies open for Third Eye Blind.
Yeah. great band. Slow jams.
Yeah. Slow jams.
Lots of slow jams.
Yeah, a lot of Boyz II Men covers.
There you go.
And guess what? This coming May will be 55 years of me being an evangelist for the Roman Catholic Church.
I love that. That's my new closure. That got a great applause.
Universal. 1.2 billion strong people, including the Pope Francis. He's crazy like me. Amen.
Wow. What language is that?
That is not Swahili. She's speaking Jesus, man.
Holy shit.
She's not getting with the microphone.
Hey, dude, yeah. And I had no filter last night, too, man. So, you know. Mom's there.
What do you mean? You just...
Well, I just, some of my siblings I don't really get along with, and I don't really like. And I was just saying, Mom, you should have swallowed on some of those. So, should have took it in the face. Put it on your lower back tattoo or some shit. Some of my siblings, you know. We could have do without some of the motherfuckers.
Okay.
But she tastes like a champ, man. You know?
Who? Yeah.
That must be his whole tendencies.
So you're in your whole stand-up career. I mean, she's way big supporter and like...
Man. At first it was. Because my brother, Joe Torre, who blazed a trail first. You know, he was in that Def Jam era back when it first started. And it was crazy because my dad was like... You know, my brother told me he was a comedian. My dad flipped out because my dad, you know, like, I... sent you through college 4 years to tell some motherfucking jokes. You could have not done shit and told some guys.
Yeah.
So it made it easier on me. Once he saw it was an honest living.
Yeah.
And then he accepted it. So it made it easier for me to come along. And I remember my first show in front of my parents. Like, I know never cuss in front of my parents. White kids, y'all cuss from your parents all damn day. You don't do that in black households. Get your shit slapped out of you. Or shot. My dad was military. He was Vietnam. He was shell shot. So he was shooting.
Oh, man.
So Agent Peterson looked like fucking timeout compared to our fucking upbringing. He got beat with shovels and shit.
So instead of go outside and get the switch, it was like go and like pick your switch out. For you, it was like go outside and pick which round I'm gonna load into the chamber.
We had to load the musket. It was my dad had muskets. So
Jesus, Looney Tunes style.
So my first show in St. Louis, man. My parents came to the show and I was nervous. I'm like, I'm about to go here and cuss in front of my mom and dad. I ain't never cussed before. And my dad, with that dad, I don't know if y'all got kids or anything, but with that dad, I guess, intuition that you have, that parent, he came to my hotel room and was like, look, I know you about to do some things, say some things me and your mom ain't never heard you say, but don't worry about it. Just act like we ain't out there. I know it's your job. No, it's no disrespect. We're not going to look at you any type of way. And like, you know, comics, before we go on stage, especially when you're young, you're in the zone. You're nervous as shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get my zone. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. He kept going on talking. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, you sure, Pop? He said, yeah. I said, well, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to focus, nigga. and he looked at me strange for a minute. He was about to punch me, and then he started laughing. It's like, and that broke the ice for me, though.
Yeah.
It broke the ice. So because in my head, I was worried about, you know, I would have went out there on that stage and not committed to those jokes.
Right. Of course.
Thinking, what are my mom and dad thinking about the cuss in front of them for the first damn time?
Right.
So that right there was huge for me.
Now, had you made him laugh like that before? Like, it just in
not
everyday
really.
Life? Okay.
Not really, man. I remember the first time I made somebody laugh, though. I had to be, I think, 6 or 7 years old. We lived in New York, and mm-hmm. I had an aunt. We had an aunt, a great aunt, because my mom and dad was only children. So we had an aunt, and she was like Alice. Like, she was like the nanny, basically.
Okay.
And remember, she cooked breakfast one time, right? And she cooked grits, she cooked eggs, and she had bacon. And they, you know, bacon is, yeah, this is like 75 or some shit
bacon's
like that.
Hot
74.
Then.
Bacon's hot. Yeah. Bacon's always been hot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ate all my fucking bacon. I ate all the eggs. I didn't touch my grits. You know, when you put grits down, it's just like smooth, like white snow that just, it just, you know, went.
I don't know what grits are.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like it's like ghetto motel meal.
I've been to an old town buffet.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
So I had to touch my grits, and she had to be about maybe in her 60s or 70s back then. Mm-hmm. And she said, boy, you ate all your food. You ain't touched your grits. So I took my finger and started poking it in my grits. I'm touching it now. I was more of a smartass.
Yeah.
And she reared back to smack the shit out of me and then started laughing. And I was like, and that was the first time I can remember making somebody laugh, man.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
And you got slapped. Yet you still thought...
I didn't get slapped.
She reared back.
She was slapped me and she stopped herself.
Yeah.
It was like a half swing. You got to check with the umpire to see if it went over the plate. And she stopped herself and started laughing, man.
That's
the first time I can remember somebody laughing.
And do you remember in that moment too, like going, okay, I need to apply this to other situations.
No, man, no, I was mother, I mean, as a kid, seven. You probably like, you know, yeah, I was little, so it's like, yo, maybe I make motherfuckers laugh about to whoop my ass.
Do,
so,
yeah.
You know, you get bullied when you little.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but you started when you were what, 17?
Comedy?
No, not like, like acting and stuff.
No.
No?
All 23. Right. I moved to LA at 23. I started real late.
You mean Wikipedia is not factually correct?
Yeah, Dickipedia, because it'll dick you around if you listen to that motherfucker. But no, man, I started at 23, man. Moved out to LA in 1992, man.
Okay.
Yeah, and started doing stand-up, and then...
Where'd you move? You moved from St.
Louis? STL 314 St. Louis Mo.
Oh, shit, I'm going back there in a month to do the Funny Bone.
Oh, yeah, which one? And they
Westport.
Got a new one now. Yeah, the Westport one.
The Westport
okay.
one. That's
the old throwback one.
Yeah, that's you the know? One where people still smoke.
Yeah.
I have to now try to actively say, hey, yeah. can you make one of the shit? Because on Saturday, there's a 7, 9, and midnight.
Right.
I go, you got to make one of them non-smoking because it's not just like, maybe 5 out of the 200 people
right.
are going to smoke.
No.
They're all smoking 12 packs during the whole show.
Because you can't
show.
Smoke in any bar practically. So that's,
and it's
that's
like,
where they go.
And the first time I went there and they were smoking, I was really kind of chastising people being like, can you not fucking go an hour without like
on stage?
Giving into this problem? Yeah.
And they probably looked at you like you took your dick out in church. No, because I made the mistake of doing that. I was doing comedy, I think 3 months, maybe mm-hmm. 6 months.
Yeah.
Right? And first kind of road gig, I was in Miami.
Yeah.
And this is like 94 now, early part of 94. No, it's 93, I'm sorry, because I started in 92. So I didn't know, the whole goatee thing was like grills. This is like early before grills came back in the last 10 years. So everybody, this dude was smiling up front, and he had on freaking gold grill. I said, man, you country ass, what the fuck with gold teeth? Who the fuck wear gold teeth now? I'm in Miami. The whole crowd smiled. They all had gold teeth. they looked at me like I was a mall map. Like, you are here. You're trying to get there.
Yeah,
and when I say I died to death with 1,000 dogs that night, man, and I had them too.
Yeah.
I had them for the first 7 minutes. I was in them. When I said that, they shut down on me like
couldn't get them back, huh?
Couldn't get them back.
Yeah.
Couldn't get them back.
Oh, man.
So you come to L.A. and then immediately, I mean, you just kind of jump right in wholeheartedly into the stand-up.
I didn't even come to L.A. to do stand-up.
Yeah.
I came to finish my marketing degree and then, I got inspired by Def Comedy Jam, some motherfuckers on. I'm like, I'm funnier than that motherfucker. and then I just went on stage, man, one night. Drunk as hell, bombed. Went up the next night to Comedy Theater in South Central and did a little better and just kept doing it over and over again, man. And every night I was on stage 3-4 times a freaking week.
Shit.
Sometimes 2 times, 3 times a night. Just going to these pizza spots or bars or and lounges, crips. And that's the thing about doing, I don't know about, people who are not black.
Mm-hmm.
But, the reason why, these mainstream comedy clubs are important to black comics is because if we don't get in those clubs, we got to do comedy in these hood spots.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's Crips and Bloods.
No shit.
In the audience. And if they heckle you and you do a mama joke, you lose your fucking life.
Wow.
This guy's been
so
shot,
you can't
beat
be
up.
Like, you can't say, your Crip mama's so fat. Like, you can't do, you can't do any of that material.
You can't do anything, Joe. Yeah. But if you do, you got to really make a fucking laugh to make a really,
there he is.
Not whoop your ass or shoot you in the parking lot. So that's why, you know, the whole Fat Tuesday thing was so important when I created.
There he is.
What up, Playboy?
And he's got his Christmas sweater on.
His ugly Christmas sweater on.
He's got that's the Drake Hotline Bling.
Hotline Bling. Right. Where'd you get that from?
Hotline Bling, man. I'm nice like that.
See, that's Jaleel, man. That's Jaleel, man.
I'm nice like that.
What up, Pimpin?
What's going on, man?
Good. I ain't seen you in a minute, son.
Cool, man. You know,
we can't be telling people about my porn on my phone, man.
We'll edit that out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm telling them I'm pulling on my phone.
You mean my text was going over live?
Yeah, man. You know, that's the porn on my phone keeps me, you know, that's where the original selfie came from. This whole taking pictures of yourself. No, original selfie, when your girl didn't show up, you got lotion and a hard dick.
God damn.
And you do a selfie. You do it yourself. Yeah. That's the original selfie. Yeah. These kids today, that's how we go. That's how we start.
Yeah.
That's how we start, Jaleel.
Damn.
That's how we start, Jaleel.
Puberty for me was that same bottle of lotion and suspenders. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there.
Straight from recent run of Scion commercials, Jaleel White.
No, but that's true. I mean, you pretty much had to grow up in front of everybody.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
So did they, as a kid going through all that, like, did anybody pull you aside? Like, Reginald didn't be like, no, Jaleel, when you're fucking jerking it up, like, here's how you do it. Like, there
was
no.
That was actually the problem, is that no one pulled me aside for anything.
Jesus.
Really?
I just had to have a sharp learning curve.
You like Kobe then.
I'm serious. You could
came into the league with a whole bunch of grown-ups, and you just had to kind of like.
Yeah, you just had to feel it. My parents were more, they were more focused on one thing. Oh, he's going to get a good education.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, how to deal with chicks when you get a car and they think you got some money or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like, I didn't get no handbook on that at all. Yeah.
There's no child survival
no
guide.
No kind of handbook on that.
And yeah, that's crazy.
Damn. I love that you wore the sweater, though.
Yeah.
That's hot. That's very appropriate for the theme of this podcast.
And then not only did he wear the sweater, but it's relevant.
Yeah.
So it's not like
Hotline Bling sweater.
Yeah.
Dog, I'm trying to crush Christmas parties right now.
You will, son.
How many Christmas sweaters do you have? Answer that honestly.
I actually only have one.
Okay.
I do have another one on Netflix and Chill when I'm going to break out. I want them all to be relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man,
you can't wear stuff recent. Like this if it's not a conversation.
You don't have any Where's the Beef Christmas sweaters or anything like that.
No,
like
that ain't gonna
throwbacks.
No, that ain't gonna get you nothing.
Well,
you got any Kobe going 1 for 26?
No, I ain't touching that either. He's had an amazing career.
That's my dude. You know, I'm a Kobe. I'm a Kobe.
That's your guy.
He's had
that's
an amazing career, but it's Steph Curry's era, and that's just all it's about.
It actually is.
It is.
Yeah.
He's gonna go down. I had this conversation the other day. When it's all said and done, as one of the top five, I think.
Who?
That's
Kobe?
Steph Curry.
Oh, Steph, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the
you
thing,
don't think?
It's crazy, dog.
Well, no. It's too soon. It's just too soon.
It's not even too soon. The only thing, the only thing, the only thing, the only thing, the only thing that could stop him would be injury.
And if it happens, that's why it's too soon.
You're right, but
and Jaleel got game, so he can talk on this because he got game. I ain't gonna front.
Yeah, I mean, weren't you telling us when
both
first time
of he and his brother are thugs on a basketball?
No
yeah,
shit.
Oh,
what's your
I'm gonna tell you why I'm a thug because I can't play. Okay,
throwing elbows.
Yeah, and they want to be in charge. No, but, they want to be the coach.
No, that's different. Let me see. That's different. Like I can't play. I play defense and talk shit.
Okay.
Right? That's my
both necessary
bars,
roles. Right?
I set picks.
Hey,
now my brother is
Rodman.
The one who he wants to be the coach,
yeah.
Who wants to be the player. he got mad. My brother Joe is, I swear to God, I admire his confidence in himself. But Jaleel, you ain't gonna believe this. You seen my brother play. Horrible.
I don't want to get into a fight with Joe the next time I see him. I love Joe.
We ain't speaking anyway, so it's all good. So I knew Joe before I knew you, so I love Joe. So Joe asked our friend, Odin Polynes, former NBA
what?
Player.
The big O.
Drafted by my Seattle Sonics.
Yeah,
drafted
exactly.
Odin Polynes over Scottie Pippen.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
I'll never forget that.
He was very serious. He wanted an NBA tryout and got mad at Odin because Odin couldn't hook up an NBA tryout for my brother Joe, who never played in high school. Never played in a YMCA league. Never Joe, played in college.
I don't believe that story. Joe was drinking at the time.
I put that on everything. I put that on everything.
Wow.
I put that on everything.
That's Olden Polonies for him.
And was mad
child.
At him. Actually, we called Olden up.
That's second only to Master P saying he could have given it to Kobe if they had just let him stay on the team.
Some weeds? Some beads?
Exactly. Something like that.
Make
him say, yeah, that's it.
Now, wait, since we spread Christmas cheer, though, you got some beats on your head, though, that are quite festive also.
They
you
are, know? Man.
Yeah.
You might want to discuss those. I'm checking those out.
These are free beats.
This free
chick,
beats?
Yeah, these just chick I used to, you know, pull sheets with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Pull sheets? Yeah.
Is that a new slang that hasn't reached white people yet?
Yeah. Exactly.
pull sheets? That's what we here to learn.
Yeah. I'm here to learn.
You know when you land next to somebody, you get through with the horizontal exercise, and you pull the sheets over and you're done. You just start pulling sheets over. So
pull sheets.
She worked for, you know, a corporation.
Beats? Okay.
No, she worked for a corporation.
Okay.
This corporation gave the Olympians free beats for the Olympics.
Shit.
This
last Olympics. They get hooked up.
And she had an extra pair. And she gave me this because that's the Olympic colors you see.
That ain't no extra pair. That's a long dick pair. That's what that is. That's
oh man. Yeah. Oh, so the inside there's like rainbow colors.
These are Olympic colors. The Olympics. So these are my radio headphones.
I didn't see Olympics. See, it shows you where my mind went. I thought that was like rainbow candy cane.
I know you did. I know you did.
It's like, nah,
you are locked into the festiveness.
Yo, guy used to hook up with Rainbow Bright, and then she had like a spare pair of beats, nice. And he's like,
was that the name of the prostitute?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to know. Were you ever around when, because you guys know each other for how long? How far
too
back?
Many years is that?
Yeah. So when you were balling, because you would tell me like on the Warner Brothers lot, you would get involved when Space Jam was going on, right?
Yeah, when Space Jam.
And you would, when you guys were doing Family Matters, and you would, were you in those games?
I would get in the games until Michael would make his little announcements. Mm-hmm. And he, it's crazy that he would even have to make these announcements. But, you know, he was like, if somebody steps into this gym and they wear the logo, they come on immediately. Mm-hmm. But you literally I'm an out people though. I just have a natural sense of like when I belong and stuff. So if you came in there and it was like Oak or Patrick Ewing or whatever, and
Charles
guys,
Oakley,
and guys, yeah. and then guys that were around or whatever, and they needed one, you would play with them for that moment. But then like if Rod Strickland or whomever, Reggie Miller walked in the door, you step off the fucking court immediately.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans, dog, got everybody cussed out pretty much because this fool was calling next with like hella NBA players.
Now,
right?
How dope did the NBA player, like if it was like Sean Bradley, George Mirisla,
it was the greatest pickup games you've ever seen.
Sarunas Marshallonis, Jordan would still be like,
it was like the what's the league over at Hacks at the hangar, the summer, the
man, I don't know what you just
Hacks, at Hacks. What's the airport and they play the summer league that they go play. That's
oh, I know
popular.
What you're talking about.
So it's like that, like NBA players, and
this was NBA players basically for to back up for second.
Yeah.
In 1995, when they made Space Jam, Warner Brothers made all of the television executives park on Forest Lawn with the dead people.
Really?
And they turned the executive parking lot into Michael Jordan's personal basketball court.
Right. So he could train while
that was the year he got eliminated by Pacers. The Orlando Magic.
Oh, yeah.
And he was about to come back and rattle off three more.
Right.
Yeah. So he had, they
but
brought
he,
in the
he
Long
he'd
Beach.
Pop in a cartoon movie before he did that.
You got to be finished, though. They brought in the Long Beach State.
It was hot that year, too.
Yeah, they brought in the Long Beach State basketball court.
Oh, okay.
They brought it piece by piece. They brought it. They assembled it under a tent that looked like some Cirque du Soleil situation.
Yeah.
They had
a revival.
They had a putting green in there. They had a kitchen in there. They had weights and everything to work out. And it was guarded 24 hours a day by guards all around. And it was Michael's tent, Michael's dome.
Wow.
So if you were cool, you know, on the lot at least, you kind of
cool
had
kids.
Carte blanche to come by on the dome. So it was like every day I was done with work, I just would go to the dome just to see who was
just
playing.
To watch.
If you didn't play, you just wanted to be around.
Yeah, you just, exactly. And when the competition got, I remember UCLA had just won the 95 championship. Our whole team, and it was funny too because I went to college with these cats.
Yeah.
So walking around on campus, I'm not going to say that they dissed me. I'm saying that we were cool, actually. But there was definitely an air.
Toby Bailey.
There was definitely an air of, this is our playground, and you're the TV kid that goes to our school. And that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. I love Chuck. I love Cameron. I love those guys.
Right.
But in this one instance, They came up to Warner Brothers trying to get some burn. And then I came through the door, and it's like, oh, now you on our playground.
Now, burn,
bro, you have to get a check. Burn is we not, need anybody to respect you.
Burn is not weed, right. People. Burn is not weed. That means trying to get on the court.
Translate for our white listeners.
Yeah. So it was like, they couldn't even. That's how tight it was, though, the runs. Our 95 championship team couldn't even get on
you say
the
our?
Floor. I went to UCLA.
Yeah, I know, but see, I hate that because I'm a Missouri fan. I remember that
we did y'all dirty.
Yeah, Tyus Edney drove down, drove down court, and we had twins
seven
at the time.
Seven and a half seconds.
Yeah,
left.
Man. Yeah. I watched that game and cried. We had that game won.
And then, Damon Wayans has the stones to be like, no,
so
I got
Damon
next.
Wayans. Oh my gosh, I love Damon. Damon Wayans is over there stretching off to the side.
Yeah. This is posting living
he's
color?
Stretching. He's stretching off to the side.
Because he used to rent a gym in Santa Monica and you go play 7 in the morning. And he played every game.
He could play, yeah?
When he won or lose, he would be on the court.
He got knee pads and everything, right?
Jesus.
He's like Blank Man.
Right? Pretty much.
He puts on the James Worthy goggles like he's ready to go.
I'm dead serious.
It did.
And all I remember was I was sitting next to him and I was starting to forget that vibe that it was like, Jay, step off the court. I mean, Grant was on the court. Rodman was on the court.
Oh,
and Sanio was like, don't even... You just kind of have to, when the competition gets that level, you almost kind of have to wait for him to look around and be like, we need one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see that you're over there dribbling already. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Would you try to step up your game when you were practicing on the side and try to do like extra special moves so that like somebody would be like, oh shit, who's that guy with the fucking up and under?
Yeah. I know my level. Right. I know my lane. I've always known my level and my lane.
Which is what? Because I want to get to that after this, like your guys' specific skill sets.
Yeah, just for me, it was a mid-range jump shot and distributing the ball, and no turnovers.
Yeah.
That was always my game in basketball. And so Damon is over here stretching and Rod Strickland walked in. Rod didn't even have shorts. Mm-hmm. So somebody ran out to try to find him some shorts from wardrobe. And he was just, Rod was just being chill and he was just like, hey, who got next? Damon was just kind of like, no, I got that right here.
Yep.
Like, I got that right here. And then the best, here's the one, you ready for the cherry? Here's the cherry. Yeah. There's the cherry on top. He was like, all right. But then he was like, okay, cool. Well, who has next? He said, you think next after you? Like, you think I can run with you? And he was like, I got my five.
Whoa!
Oh my God! What?
Guy Tori threw down his headphones.
Now, I don't want Damon tweeting me or nothing, but no. I heard Damon Wayans, not Junior. Senior.
Senior.
We have to clarify that these days. You know what I'm saying? Can't be getting Junior harassed on him.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Senior. Back in the day. Tell Rod Strickland. I got my five.
Wow. You heard it here. Hey, Rod Strickland, Damon Wayans, come on the podcast. Yeah, sort it out.
Let's hash this out.
My skill set, when I played, I averaged a triple double every game. Right? Like 20 minutes on the bench, about 13 mama jumps, and about 10 turnovers.
You had a triple double.
Totally got me. Well done.
I averaged a triple. But see, I played, the only reason I played because that was. And the NBA Entertainment League is like, it's Sunday, you want to sweat the alcohol out. That's all I did.
Yeah.
And the other thing about, I got kicked out the NBA Entertainment League.
We all did at one point.
No, but I got kicked out. I had a Bobby Knight moment.
What?
It was 06.
Choked
marriage,
the kid? What'd you do?
My marriage was failing. So I was taking out everything everywhere else, but
Jesus,
at home.
Yeah.
And I talk a lot of crap. So, guys on the free throw line, I'm talking crap. So this one guy was on the free throw line. And his name is Kenneth Creer.
Got into it with Kenny Creer.
Yeah.
So
he's like six.
Yeah, but Kenny Creer is like everybody's uncle.
I know.
He's
like, I'm an asshole.
6 minutes, so, and two rebounds a game.
And he had a low haircut, so he's on the free throw line. And I talk crap to everybody.
Yeah. How much is too much, by the way? I want to know because I'm a big talker too.
Well, I'll tell you what was too much. Yeah. This was too much. So he had the free throw line. I'm at the half court line. I'm like, look, I hope you miss. In opposite teams, I said, that's why you look just like your mama, except you got more hair. And he says, what?
That would do
I said,
it.
You look just like your mama, but you got more hair. People in the stands laughing. Mm. He slams the ball down, walks toward me, and the referee got between us, and then kicks me out the game.
What?
Kicks me out the game.
Yeah, because you were instigating.
So I'm like, I had a Bobby Knight moment. Chairs went flying, Gatorade.
I don't know.
And what happened was I found out later, I didn't know, and I apologize. Like, 2 years ago, it happened, maybe 7 years ago, but his mama just passed.
Oh.
And I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's
I didn't know.
That's always a risk with mama jokes.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
You know?
And the way she died, the whole hair thing was not cool.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah, so I didn't know.
Can right. we play a Christmas song right now?
Yeah.
No, it just got, dark in here.
But here's the thing. So Chris Spencer started calling me Guy Artest because it was around the same time.
Guy Artest.
It was around the same time that Ron got kicked out of the league.
Chris Wood, dude. Malice in the Palace.
And then you know how stories, you know,
right.
evolve.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was said that he came to me and told me that on the court, and I said, I don't give a fuck. No. It like, never happened.
I believe once you say your mom passed, you give a fuck at that
yeah,
moment.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You have fucks to give.
So I kind of got banned from the league for like 2 years. And
Jesus, Brad, have you been banned from any sporting recreational?
Banned from any sport? No, but I got thrown my hockey team. When I was a kid, we played a charity game at halftime at a Ducks game, or like in between periods. We were one of the youth teams that played like.
Oh yeah, the little
yeah.
I like watching those games. In
yeah,
between.
They're
yeah.
fun. And my whole goal was I got to get into the penalty box. I'm at the pond.
Wow.
I got to get.
Squad goal is just.
I got to get in the
so
penalty
different.
Box. So I was a defenseman. I was a defenseman. This guy. Got around me, and he had a clear path to the goalie. I'm like, not today. I got my stick, got right under his skates, and I flipped this dude like a pancake. And then, like, there wasn't even a ref.
That was a kid.
Like,
that wasn't a dude. That was a kid.
Yeah, all right, he was a kid, but
right? You got to leave out the
over.
Fact that he was 11.
Well, hey, he's still, like, two feet taller than me, so fuck it. So flip him over. They send me over to the penalty box. I'm cheering in the penalty box. The crowd's going nuts. Like,
oh, the midget's in the pit. Like,
everybody make a wish.
I'm so small, you don't even see my head in the penalty box. Like, I'm jumping up and down. You see, like, the crown
pick
of the
me,
head.
Pick me,
yeah.
pick
just,
me.
Like, coming
over
up.
Over to the Shrek. Pick me.
So that was the closest I ever got to being thrown out of a league. But I was throwing the penalty box at the pond.
That's funny. I want to be in a penalty box.
Yeah.
I think we should take a moment to acknowledge all being here. And why we all got here, because mm-hmm. Jaleel, third time guest on the podcast.
Am I like this is my version?
This might be your fourth, actually.
This is mm-hmm. my am I like your Justin Timberlake on SNL?
You might be. Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
Got to get into the five club.
All right.
Yeah.
Get in the club.
And when we were talking about you coming back, you said, I want to come back, mm-hmm. but I want to do Black Christmas. To which we said, what does that mean?
Yeah, I was like, is that Tyler Perry's next movie? What's that?
Yeah. Nice.
Don't let him talk to us like that, guy. Don't let him talk to us. Guy,
hey, if there's anybody who stands up and puts it down for the black race, it's Jaleel. There's Farrakhan.
So that's another thing.
There's
Sharpton.
And then
Jaleel.
Sharpton. And then there's Jaleel. Won't let anything pass. He's like the greatest goalie of black. The black race, he ain't gonna let anything pass him.
As long as you know.
we want to start this discussion by you sent me a list of songs, and there's one that you were very set on to open this.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've got it hooked up.
Oh, cue that joint. Yeah. I wanna see. Oh.
Welcome to the About Last Night Black Christmas special.
Oh, man.
There you go.
You can fade that out. Yeah.
Guy, that's one of my favorites tied, though.
Guy Tori, when that song, the first beat hit,
I want to battle.
Up.
What you got? I want to battle.
That's tied with me, man, because I'm going to throw out all the ones I grew up with my dad. And my dad was a big Lou Rawls fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that and Temptations, you know.
Well, come with it. It's a battle.
But Christmas is Hollis. Christmas is Hollis, dude.
Christmas
Run
in Hollis,
DMC,
Queens, New York. Run DMC.
What? You have that?
Mama in the kitchen cooking collard greens. What? Christmas in Hollis. No Run DMC. No. What?
He'll find it.
Christmas in Hollis.
So what's the connection with this? This was your dad's go-to?
My dad listened to, you know, Lou Rawls, The Temptations, Jackson 5, all those guys doing Christmas. But
so you say this is you.
This is me. My era.
Okay.
My era.
All right,
was
play it,
Christmas
play it,
in Hollis.
Yeah.
You know, that was the one.
Okay. That was, it's going to work here?
That's an ad.
It's an ad. Skip it. Push skip. Damn it.
Hey Jay, you said Bailey's and Crown? Yeah?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Let's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I put in one question? Another Moscow meal?
I mean, this was terrific, but
Moscow meal. Bed.
I was just keeping it.
Okay. Here it is. Come on, man.
Hold on. Let me. Even...
Thank you.
I'm
buddy.
Trying to see if it's charging.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, that's it. But that's the video. That's the.
This is your song?
No. That's the long video version. You got to get into the song. You got to speed it up.
Will. There we go.
Oh, I remember this one. Okay.
Come on. I'm a hip hop head, son.
Okay.
Come on, man. That was the one.
Oh, shit. Okay.
When it came on MTV for the first time back in the day. December 24th on Hollis
7th, the dark. Let that run. I approached them very slowly with my heart full
of fear. Look at his dog. Oh, my God. A ill reindeer. That track is hot.
Norman, take video.
Yeah, right? They had a dog with reindeer.
Okay, I'm with that.
That's good.
That's good. Okay, you came strong with that because that's hip hop. You came strong.
Yeah. That was the first like hip hop Christmas song
right.
See, if that was being played in my household growing up, first of all, everyone would have been like,
I'm mad to get that for my daughter.
But you also
got to
get that. Well, don't get this one because my other one, hip hop one, is by Death Row. Santa Claus came straight to the ghetto. That was Santa Claus with Nate Dogg. Santa Claus straight to the ghetto. I'm telling you.
That's not a real song.
Yes, it is.
That's a
by Death Row.
That's a black exploitation movie.
No.
Santa Claus came to the ghetto.
Straight to the ghetto. Yeah, man.
Gotta find
Death Row Christmas.
Is this it?
All your songs sound very...
They're deceiving. They start off soft, and then
they go real hard.
We're going to rob you and shoot you.
It's Nate Dogg.
Take all your gifts. Take all your gifts.
Here we go. Celebrated, posted up with eggnog, head up in my cup. Jesus.
Gotta get to the chorus, too. Bang, and coasting down the block, but be careful for the heart
because it's poaching. Some say to this day that Christmas ain't nothing but another day. Okay, he brought the black.
Wow. No, I brought the...
I was here to talk about a soul.
You brought the black.
You want to fade that out, right? You can fade that out, baby.
I want to get to the course. Santa
like
Claus.
That one.
Oh, okay.
Came what? Straight to the gate. It's Nate Dogg.
Oh,
rest in peace.
Can we get back?
I just want to hear that chorus. I want to hear that chorus, too. Santa Claus sprinkled the hood. Now we born and live into a new year. A better thing. Oh, wait. Why my drink low?
It's coming.
First day of
Christmas.
This new
kid. Come on.
You can hear it too.
He don't even sound the same no more, bro.
Second day of Christmas,
my homeboy gave me. Wow. I bit the hand
dog and told me to take it. Right, you want to turn it down just a little bit?
Wow. Third day of Christmas, my big homeboy gave me a whole lot of everything and it wasn't up a game to me. Oh, shit. Woke up to the sound, I saw mama kissing Santa, made you reminisce on the old fashioned Christmas days. Gifts miss a fat man. Oh, I've been missing out on life.
I know, dude.
Oh.
What have we been doing?
I'm playing all this, dog. I'm playing all this on
Death
Christmas.
Row Christmas. Santa Claus
creeping down my hall. Here you go, Sean.
My daughter gonna love this stuff too. She has it in her. It's just in the DNA.
Yeah.
My man. Merry Christmas, man.
Come on.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Yeah. All right, you can turn it.
Whatever the hell my people celebrate.
Merry Christmas. Are you guys big on the saying it right? Happy holidays. What do you say?
Don't say that Kwanzaa stuff.
No?
That's offensive to black people, actually.
Not really.
You celebrate.
My mom, she made us celebrate Kwanzaa.
No, they don't give away no gifts, though. They make stuff for each other.
My mom gave us, it was bullshit gifts, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like spears and shit and African arts.
I'm serious, that's why they couldn't, not me. That's why they couldn't get, like, the full support of the community.
That's true.
Because at the end of the day, it was like,
some bullshit.
It makes it seem like you just celebrated so you had to give nobody
nothing. Right.
You got a goddamn kente cloth hat. I don't want a kente cloth hat.
No,
this ain't coming to America. You got a kente cloth tam.
It's so funny because like Jaleel, when you were talking about Black Christmas, like Ab and I were like, wait, there's another Christmas?
Yeah, man.
And then you started like, so are there certain,
so you started with the music,
like, traditions?
Yeah. So I mean, the music is obviously different. Yeah,
the music
and better,
is
way better.
The
yeah.
music is
because we're rocking with Tony Bennett, Michael Bublé,
on,
Mariah Carey.
Well, let's just describe.
Even TLC got a great Christmas album.
What?
Yeah.
TLC got a Christmas
Sleigh
album.
Sleigh Bells.
Jesus.
What? My favorite of all time.
Back with
though,
Left Eye.
Hey, my favorite of all time is Let It Snow, Boys to Me.
Yeah, Let It Snow.
That's of my generation. If I'm gonna go from my generation,
yeah.
Let It Snow, Boys to Me.
Yeah,
is number one for me.
Okay.
If we want
to, but your generation. But you got to go back to.
If you want to go back to the Whispers, you want to go back to Temptations.
The Temptations, but his Hathaway,
Donny Hathaway. We'll get to that. I'll try to get to that.
Wait, is this like Christmas or are we fucking? What's happening here?
Fuck on Christmas.
Well, if it's Christmas, you are fucking, Brett.
Depends on the gift.
Hey, this was the one right here.
Yes.
This is the one. Just close your eyes and just imagine. The flakes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All this gonna play in my house.
Yeah.
All the 25th.
Yeah.
All
wow.
this.
Yeah.
All
ain't no.
This.
Ain't no. Bing, ain't no Bing in our house. Yeah. Bing is gonna be the
no
website.
It's gonna be turkey. It's gonna be dressing. Collard greens.
Bing website. Bing.
It's gonna be sweet potato pie. Yeah.
What? Wow. Greens.
It's gonna be all that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Ooh. Favorite what?
Well, my favorite
Christmas movie.
My favorite Christmas movie is the whitest movie though, Aries, and that is Christmas Story though.
Really?
I love Christmas Story.
Why do you love
your
it?
Eye out, kid.
I just, you know what? I actually knew one
repetition.
You've
seen it
up,
so much. Oh, okay.
And it was just that was like I actually took that one with me from my generation. I watched it as a kid. I watched it as a teen. I watched it as an adult. I watch it with my daughter.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. There you go. Yes, guy.
I have It's a Wonderful Life parties.
Really?
Wow.
So now one of my
this
favorite
is
Christmas
like
movies.
A for black guys and they watch white Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah, no, we do.
Ain't no way.
The preacher's wife with Denzel and Wendy.
This Christmas with Chris
nice
Brown.
Nice clothes, but I don't know about the movie.
This Christmas with Chris Brown. This Christmas with Chris Brown.
This Christmas with Chris Brown?
Yeah.
He did a Christmas movie?
He did a Christmas movie, yeah. With,
what do you do?
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Jeez. Brown in a movie with our director from Detroit. Preston Whitmore.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's a good movie, actually. I ain't gonna front. But It's a Wonderful Life is one of my top favorite. I watched it. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Elf is one of my favorite Christmas movies also.
Yeah.
That's like probably number two.
Yeah. Sure, and that launched the career of Peter Dinklage.
Son of a bitch.
That son of a bitch.
I'm here talking about Black Christmas, and I'm talking about all the white movies that we watch.
Yeah, because there's not many Black Christmas movies.
Is it true?
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's the point I want to make.
But I love these movies.
There's a ton of Kwanzaa movies, though.
Wait, no. Are there really no, like, I mean, there's no, like, now how come they can't, like, make, like, Black Elf or Black It's a Wonderful Life?
I wouldn't even want to see
Kevin Hart is too busy doing other movies.
Yeah.
So funny.
But
he's going to make right along,
spike
too.
The ball on that one.
Right off
Get
the
it.
Backboard. Rim rocker.
Is there any, though? I mean, is there one, like, I mean, you're saying Elf, Wonderful Life, Christmas Story, but is there one Black Christmas movie that you'll throw in the mix or no? Is it really?
Man, I would like to see a Black It's a Wonderful Life. You know what I'm saying?
Who would you cast it?
I don't want to read the tweets. Just leave that alone. Just leave that alone. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life
true.
Is such an
it's
amazing
such a classic.
Classic.
Yeah. Like Casablanca. Those two movies you really shouldn't do over.
I don't think you should remake a movie just to change the race, even though a lot of opportunists would do that.
So you wouldn't
unless it's a comedy.
You wouldn't want to see Black Goonies?
No, I feed the homeless every Wednesday. Anytime you go to 24 Hour Fitness, you're going to see some Black in LA.
Oh, Jaleel from way downtown.
Way downtown, bang. Yeah, you shouldn't remake a movie, though, unless you have a third act twist on it that's different from the original.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's my criteria. If you did something different with it that is like, oh, that's a cool improvement. You know, based on the time.
Yeah.
Right. Then okay, go ahead and remake. Okay.
Like Batman, all the movies.
Right, because they're like, the Dark Knight is better than the Batman that I grew up with. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
absolutely.
It's like Star Wars.
Boom.
I can't wait to see it.
Bow.
So what, I mean, are there any other traditions that Adam and I might not be aware of?
Food-wise. Let's get back to the food. We kind of glossed over it. Food. Let's just go back and forth. Just say mac and cheese.
Mac and greens.
Sweet potatoes. Sweet potato pie.
Bean pie if you're Muslim.
Okay, yams with marshmallows on top.
Candied yams,
Yes. Dressing with the ocean spray canned
corn in it.
Canned
cranberry sauce.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. I want the cranberry sauce canned. I do not want fresh cranberry sauce.
Hennessy.
Hennessy. Yeah, this is very serious. Yeah.
By the way,
Crown Royal.
Domino's. Bitwiz.
Bitwiz.
Tonk.
Yes.
What? Wait,
Blackjack.
Wait, what's that?
The police. Because all that shit got cracking. Somebody going to jail.
We'll be right back with more Black Face Off Christmas Edition. This is
a blunt. With a ribbon on it, with a red ribbon on it.
Some blood.
Oh, shit.
Black Christmas is totally different than y'all Christmas. But you know, it was funny because we had a
And we can't open shit on Christmas Eve. Like, honestly, like,
what? Oh, yeah, what are the present rules?
My daughter is mixed, and I actually...
Hug that mic as much as possible.
That actually bothers me because my mom went so out of her way. And you can't open none of that. Like you get to open one present a day before.
No,
had to wait till midnight, and you would come charging out your room. And with my daughter, you know, just because you know it is what it is. Yeah. It's like you know she got carte blanche to just start opening stuff because it's like maybe the 20th.
Well, you like that one. Let's do it. How early do you set it out though? I mean, when is the tree going up?
You know, it's funny.
You have a tree? Do you have a tree party? Like
the I don't have a tree. I haven't had a tree party yet because she hasn't participated.
Okay.
So now I think she's old enough to participate. I might have one this year. You might inspire one.
Yeah. Now tree parties. That's not specific to the race. That, no, no, everyone
not.
Has
it's
tree
not,
parties,
it's not,
right?
Yeah. No, it's more Hennessy. It's just more Hennessy. Oh God! You took the.
Oh, shit.
We on that brown for the food. We on that brown, darling.
It's funny because like I grew up Catholic, right?
Uh huh.
Untouched by a priest.
Congratulations.
I grew up Catholic.
It's hard to do.
And we had to go to midnight mass.
Yeah.
I had to go to midnight mass.
That's funny because somebody just invited my daughter to go to a midnight mass, and I'm wondering if I want to do it.
But this is the trick.
Was it Old Polynes?
My mom and dad.
It's like, everybody's on fire at this time.
We had my mom and dad had a system because my mom, my dad was in the home, white people. He stayed home.
He stuck around.
Yeah. My mama had some good cooch. But we grew up Catholic. We go to midnight mass.
Yeah.
And then by the time midnight mass was over, it's like 1:30, 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was never going because he was Methodist. He wasn't Catholic.
Yeah, right.
He would stay home, and that's he put all the gifts out. So we got home. Go. We like had to.
Santa
like,
was here.
My parents. Huh?
And,
yeah.
And then we opened gifts. Then we had open gifts after that. But it was already 2 a.m.
Right.
My parents did the ultimate. They did the ultimate. They in the third grade they switched gifts with neighbors down the street.
Oh wow.
And they put my gifts in their house, and they put their kids' gifts in our garage. So there was nothing under the tree at all.
Yeah.
Right up until Christmas Eve. My mama came and woke me up.
Such a mind fuck.
Right? So my mama came and woke me up, and she was like, hey, we wanted to give you your Christmas gift. And it was like 3 tennis balls. I was salty as hell. But, you know, you don't even know how to really respond.
No, you're right. Just like, you even know this was a possibility
just like,
as a kid.
Thank you, and you're crying.
Yeah.
And they closed the door and they cried. And then they came right back and they would just be like, I think Santa just came. And then I jumped out of the bed and I went in there.
Strategic.
And it was like, and it was, to this day, this was the Christmas that fucked up my reality about money.
I want to hear this.
Oh, boy.
Because everything I ever wanted
is a real Christmas
story. No, I'm about to break it down. We're going to make this a black Christmas. Everything
really
I wanted,
Christmas.
A Mr. T doll, Cabbage Patch doll, synthesizer, tennis racket, you name it. Everything I wanted for that Christmas was under that tree. I was in heaven. I couldn't stop unwrapping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lived in an apartment and we didn't know rich people.
Yeah.
So
how many of you in the apartment?
No, it was three of us.
Yeah.
It was three.
Okay.
But we didn't know.
Black and the
but we
didn't Mexican.
Hilarious. So we didn't, I didn't have a concept though. At that age, your concept of wealth is just getting what you want.
Yeah.
Some new J's or, you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Or what you wanted
Kobe's.
For Christmas.
If you want it, you get it, you think you're fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So.
I'd have Kobe's.
Right? So with
had the Patrick Ewings. Keep
so
going.
I got everything I wanted for Christmas.
Spud
my
webs.
Parents told me years later. They told me years later. They said that was the year we filed for bankruptcy.
Oh.
So since we filed, we said fuck it. We was gonna we gonna give you the best Christmas that anybody could ever imagine.
That's
wow.
But they didn't know that fucked me up until I was about 12 years old. And then I went to a school where I was the only black kid at the whole school. And it was just like a parade of Benzes in the morning.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, we ain't got shit. And then literally 7 months after I made that realization, I got a little show called Family Matters.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's,
And then you had shit for days.
Yeah. But see, that's crazy because your mom could have said, you know, let you know, mom had to suck dick for all these things. Oh, I thought that's where you were going. But I remember, you know, it's funny because my mom and dad stayed together 53 years, but there was a point where they separated.
Mm-hmm.
My dad came back. I was born in Northern California. I am an Army brat.
Are you trying to clean up Monterey instead of saying just the Bay?
Well, no, it was Monterey. It was Monterey.
I take that statement off the table.
So grew up in Monterey, so he's like California. My dad came back from Vietnam. He was, you know, fucked up in the head, mm-hmm. you know, shell shocked. He choked my mom. My mom got tired and said, fuck, you know, black women, get the fuck out. They're like, choke me one more day. White women stay. Hey, going through PTSD.
He still loves me.
My mom took 6 kids, Continental Trailways back
Holy
then,
shit.
And moved us to New York.
Wow.
And then we moved to New York for a while. We're living in the hood.
As far away from him as you can get.
We was in Queens, Jamaican.
Oh, that's when
Queens.
You learned how to fight.
Exactly. We were fighting. We were just getting beat up by Jamaicans.
Oh, yeah. That's when you learned how to fight. I already know what's up.
Because we were from Northern California, and we sound like white dudes. Hey, guy, want
to
play
ball? They had to test you out.
Yeah. And we were from the West, so we had cowboy boots on, cowboy hats. And so my mom, like he was growing up in New York, and kept getting her ass kicked. So we moved to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
My mom had 6 kids.
You
it's
still had
her.
To fight. But you had picked up some moves then, though.
Yeah.
We picked up a little
so
bit of moves.
You picked up
exactly. So what happened was my mom didn't have any money, man. And my mom went and got to the gas station. And we got one of those big stockings. The big stockings you had mm-hmm. with candy toys.
Yeah.
And it was 6 of us. And that was our Christmas gift.
For everybody.
Did she say just as soon as she bought, she was like,
but
Merry
we knew
Christmas.
She was like, it was almost like, you know, she had to work, you know, I'm like KD mama in a way, you know, to work all them jobs.
Right,
but we
right,
appreciated
right.
that. And then my dad was man enough to say, you know what, I got 6 kids growing up without a pop, that's not cool. And he got back my mom in St. Louis, and then our Christmases were great after that.
Wow. What was the next Christmas?
I mean, not
like?
That it wasn't great then. Sorry, mom, if you're listening.
Nah, that's what made you, man. Like, I love those kind of stories.
But that one,
that
one big ass stocking, and we had to share that one stocking, that one little fishnet, red ass fishnet looking stocking. That they sell at the gas.
What was in the stocking? How, what
like,
got divvied up?
It was
like
candy.
What
it was like little toy cars.
Yeah.
You know, little
nothing huge,
shit.
But just a bunch of little things.
Yeah, this is like 77, 78.
Now
you know,
did that? Now did that? Like, did any of the kids complain, or did you?
No, none of us.
So you all understood.
Oh, we all understood. Nobody complained.
And what's?
I got a black mom.
Yeah.
Anybody can goddamn complain?
Yeah, because then they know they get smacked.
Yeah. and the difference between Jaleel, you know, because exchanging gifts with your neighbors, mm-hmm. you know, our neighbors, we didn't want to exchange gifts with them neighbors. They had guns. And
yeah, no, those kind of, your neighbors would have stolen damn gifts.
Yeah, exactly. He'd get this back.
These were actual neighbors. What, like, how are you doing gifts? Today?
Yeah. Our neighbors were on
would
WIC,
you like some
man.
Sugar?
Welfare. We was on welfare, too. But man.
Wow. What was it?
That's
what was
Black
it,
Christmas. Black
what was
Christmas.
What was the Christmas like though after that stocking for 6 kids? Like when you said your dad came back and then it was the best ever.
Man,
like,
it was remote control cars.
Yeah, huge.
But it
jump
was also out. Stuff like that's why I love my mom and dad. Because he gave us stuff we needed. We didn't like it really, but we needed it.
But then
like,
you used
long,
it all
like,
year.
Like Long Johns, like Union, like Long Johns, because it was cold in Missouri.
Yeah, you're Missouri.
So he gave us stuff like shirts and pajamas and shit like that. Not
right.
stuff because we had neighbors like we had neighbors that had all the latest shit. Atari, mm-hmm. the latest sneakers with like the Converse. Shit. We had like Procast, the grocery store shit. But they would always come over our house and borrow staples. Like, when I mean staples, mean bread, flour, sugar. They had all the
need.
Latest styles, Jordan ass jeans, all that shit. But they didn't have common everyday shit
gotcha.
Like liquid detergent or shit like that. Yeah. So my parents made sure we had the staples.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I respect that, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that's solid. And they were teaching you, like, want some of these extravagant
things. Pay your
things,
bills before you go out and fucking floss.
Yeah.
No, I lost that shit when I started, got my teeth fixed.
best gift you ever got. What's like the gift you got at Christmas that was like, oh, my God, like that thing you wanted
you go
like,
first.
More than anything?
Wow, the best gift though I ever got.
Adam, if you got one, chime in.
Okay.
I'm really not. I'm like, I'm about to sound soft as hell.
No, it's okay,
man. It's real.
But I was that generation. I really wanted a Cabbage Patch doll, and I remember his name. It was Kobe Lou.
Kobe Lou.
Wow.
He sold drugs.
Didn't he play for the Raptors?
Kobe Lou Cabbage Patch Kid now with his very own dime bag.
It's crazy because I literally, when I think about where I've come from and where I am, I mean, my nanny literally just yesterday something else came from Amazon, and my nanny said,
"Did it come with the drone?"
It did come with the drone. Okay. No, my nanny, she said, "Mr. White, stop. Stop.
Oh, really?
Don't get anything else, please."
For her.
And it was
or
like, and
kid?
I'm like, yeah. And it was like, oh, you know, I don't have a wife to tell me to stop. Yeah. But so it was like I did what a dad did. And I went ham.
Hey, man.
I went to the Lego store and I went ham.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
And I was like, look, the little girl does her homework.
Yeah, man.
She even reminds me, Daddy, I gotta do the homework.
Wow.
And I'm like,
you're doing it right.
You know, but I went ham. But we're from a different generation where you hoped you got what you wanted.
I got the best gift.
She just had to make sure it was on the list. Yeah.
When I was married, the best gift I would get on Christmas was head for my wife.
Whoa, hey, that could actually, in this day and age.
That's touch the back of that throat. Because clitoris polyps right up.
That's a dream of mine, though, man, to make a great Christmas movie. Like I guess I could put that out there. Like I really, because I want
something classic, right?
But I want to do something classic that isn't afraid to be what it is that we're sitting here talking about. What the specifics. Like everybody going crazy over this patty pie now, and it's like it is good.
Patty LaBelle's
sweet potato pie,
right.
But it's like exactly. But
it's been real life,
right? But it's like for us,
nigga pie.
For us, it's almost like here we are in 2015, and we still introducing sweet potato pie to white people.
I know,
right, like sure. How?
Y'all say something. Y'all been deprived, man.
Dude, really? I had it. Not I didn't have the Patti LaBelle version, but someone brought.
Like, it's not a big deal to us.
He had the Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
Come with weed.
Dionne Warwick fruitcake.
Someone brought sweet potato pie to Thanksgiving.
Weed pie.
Oh my God.
Do you know the way to San Jose? You forgot, bitch. You high. Weed makes you forget.
How was it? Yeah. Though?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah. And it was that moment where I take a bite and I go, where has this been all my life?
I know.
Where has it been?
But it cracks us. I'm like, what makes it amazing? This is the thing that actually makes that patty pie amazing, though. Is the power of Walmart. That pie is $3.48, bro. Like, there's nothing you can buy in America for $3.48, let alone something that's going to actually make you say, good.
You know what they was trying to do? They was trying to make up for trying to fuck Tracy Morgan and not pay him in that Walmart. That's why. Fucking Walmart.
Tracy might be her partner, her silent partner.
Yeah, right?
No
shit. I think the greatest gift I honestly got growing up was a drum set.
Yeah,
my dad.
How bad did you want it when you got it?
Wanted it bad.
Yeah.
And it was a Mickey Mouse.
And how long did you play it?
Man, I beat that shit like it was Rodney King. beat that motherfucker like I was a cop in Ferguson. Beat that motherfucker. And man, they had to stop and tell. And it was like the little symbol.
Oh yeah,
it was only one, but it had the little rivets in it.
Who would you listen to when you play along? Obviously,
I was just made up my own shit. I was like, you know, before Ritalin. It was like I was just gonna spaz out on the drums in the bass. I grew up in the Midwest.
He didn't have a drums tutor.
But my dad, you know what though? My dad
didn't have YouTube drum
videos. When I got older, my dad did get me drum lessons.
Oh, he did get you drum lessons,
big.
Man.
That's big.
He
got me drum lessons. You still play?
Every once in a while, man.
Yeah.
I beat my meat more than I beat the drums.
Oh my gosh, you're disgusting.
Wait, no, I want to know too.
Superman myself half the time. just let the sheet stick to my hand. I clean this shit up in the morning. Get up and walk to the bathroom.
Julia, how crazy is it to think that like you wanted that Colby Lou?
Yeah.
That doll so bad, right? And that was your gift.
I know.
Was it Kobe or Goldie Lou?
No, stop it. Don't take it there.
What was it?
But I want to know.
It was a Cabbage Patch doll.
What was the name of it, though?
Colby Lou.
Oh, Colby Lou. Okay.
But I want to know how bananas is it to think that how bad you wanted that doll for Christmas and then X amount of years later, kids are wanting a doll of you for Christmas.
That's pretty dope.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, there was a
there's gotta be a point when you thought about that.
Yeah, well, there was definitely a point. Yeah. You know, I actually don't. You know, when you're in it and you're living it, you don't.
I was gonna ask you that question though, because you played such an iconic role, and you made such an and the show is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you got when your show is timeless. You can still watch it today, and your kids can watch it, and it's still just as funny and just as dope. And you got grown ass people still laughing at the show because we grew up on it. And like you said, when you're in it, you don't know what you're doing.
No,
you're a professional actor. You're doing a job. You're climbing to your character, climbing to your role. You beasted it, but at the time you don't know that you're not thinking of the impact down the line.
You got to understand too, man. Like I mean, you're part of this. We didn't.
Oh, can I say something real quick? Yeah. I'm sorry. One of my first freaking acting, well, jobs in LA when I first moved out here. It was an extra on Family Matters.
Oh my God. Really? Give us a bird's eye view of that whole day.
It was a food fight. Which
the
one?
Fight.
The food fight in the cafeteria.
The one that
and
I
was
busy
mugging,
in that.
I was loving it.
I got busy in that.
I just moved out here, and I was like, I'm serious. I was doing extra work.
Wow, I do remember that.
It was a food fight in the cafeteria.
What did you think of Julia when you saw him?
I was, of course, I ain't gonna front. I was starstruck. Yeah, dude.
That's hilarious.
So you were trying to get some you were trying to get some FaceTime.
I was mugging the camera because I was right there in the between. They was facing this way, and I was wanting to.
Oh, it's funny. I do remember that episode though. We only had two really good food fights. One where I took it, and another one where I gave it.
This is 92. Because I just moved to LA.
And was this the one where you Julia? Was this the one where you stopped and mugged towards the camera, and there was a pause, and it was just
food fight? Yeah, that's it. Actually,
I remember that episode.
Before I started acting, I had that on my reel.
Hilarious.
I swear to God.
You mugging?
My first two.
A shot of you catching some potato salad in the eye.
My first two extra rolls was that, and I was on a Different World.
A Different
where
World.
Chris Cross was on there. Holy shit. The same shirt, too.
Dude, that's a strong 20 seconds of tape.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, that was your lucky shirt.
Just, I never told you that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's people,
you know,
awesome.
It's funny because
things he doesn't say when he's talking about your mama at the free throw line.
The funny thing about it was when I did it, and all my homies in St. Louis saw it because they watched the show. They were "Oh man, you were a star! You were a star!" I was like, okay, I got some pussy off. Thank you. I got some pussy off of being an extra in a food fight in the cafeteria.
Oh my God!
It's actually one of the credits. They actually put me down like I was on the show with speaking lines. Yeah. Shit. He's like, "Oh, you was on Family Matters." I said,
"And for people back home, that's like the mark where it's like, dude, I'm on the credits.
I'm on TV." So.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted your story,
you're gonna interrupt you for that? Absolutely.
but you're in it. So even when it hits the market, and also too, I'm curious, going through the being on the show and stuff, is a black show Christmas different than white show Christmas?
Which was awesome about our show is we had very very powerful white producers, so we never got treated really like black show. And I didn't.
It was great.
And I didn't really understand what black shows were going through budget wise until the show was done. And then it was like all of a sudden, age 21 through 30 was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyler Perry took it to another level, and that was the next 8 years. So
gotcha.
I'm like, but it was like we
8 years of slavery.
Right. So we
some sort of slavery was going on.
We did. You know, we did probably we did a Christmas episode pretty much every year of the show. So it was 9 years.
And people looked forward to those Christmas episodes.
And people really back then, they actually looked forward to those Christmas shows.
Sure.
We live in such an on-demand world now. I wouldn't even be able to tell you if people actually look forward to any one show doing a Christmas-themed show.
Getting to see those characters they've fallen in love with, seeing how they treat something that's so relatable to everybody else.
Right, yeah. Right. I'm not sure. Like, if I watch Modern Family or something like that, I'm not going to be like, oh, they're going to have a Christmas show coming
out.
But,
Blackish, though. Blackish is
they do a great Christmas. I mean,
well-written show.
See, like a show like Blackish,
they have such a
platform. Yeah. I would hope that Anthony or whomever would hear this and would say, "Hey, we got to kill it. We got to set a whole new standard of what a black Christmas is and incorporate everything that we're sitting here talking about."
Your stories are actually so on point. Like, you're talking about trying to make a film about it, but it's like both your individual stories would be such a great portrayal of that world that you don't get to see.
I almost cried telling that story about my mom. I ain't gonna lie. Because her birthday's today.
But you know what?
She's in town. So I just like, wow, mom.
I really think as much as we were able to go back and forth, especially when we were talking about the food, I really actually think that it would become American iconic. And that everybody would still be able to identify with it, though.
Sure.
It wouldn't be like I feel left out or lost.
And that's so true. Because I'm gonna tell you why. I'll tell you why that's so prevalent. Because I started making greens, right? The collard greens in the hood is like
that's a big deal.
So about in 2009, I started making greens, right? Mm-hmm. And I went home to St. Louis to have Thanksgiving with my mom and dad. And I came with this green recipe that I did out here a couple times in L.A.
Yeah.
And people liked it. So I'm going to go home, I'm going to cook. Because I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I'm making the greens this year." She's like, "Yeah, whatever." I said, "Mom, no, really, I'm making the greens." She's like, "No." I said, "Mom, please." She said, "Look, boy, you know the greens are the most important meal next to the ham and the turkey and the mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. Yeah. It's one of the staples. I said, Mom, please let me make the greens. She said, okay. You fuck these greens up. I'm fucking you up.
That's
the exact words.
Yeah.
Two things happened when I made my greens. Mm-hmm. My mom asked for the recipe.
Ooh.
My dad asked for a divorce. He's like, I'm moving to LA with God. Your greens, they never taste as good. But my greens, and I think I don't know if I told you about the cookbook I'm doing, but a comment.
No,
greens are I make collard greens, the collard, mustard, turnip, kale, and spinach. Ooh. All five in a chicken broth.
Wow. You put kale in yours too?
All five.
We will be exchanging numbers though.
I'll get the recipe.
I also
go to Trader Joe's and I get five different type of chicken sausages and I season them, then Brilliant. I grill them. And then I let the greens cook for an hour, then I cut the sausages up and put them in the greens.
Jenny.
I also roast tomatoes. You can get the buy out the can if you want to too. The roasted tomatoes and I put those in. Then I let them cook. I got garlic. I got a white onion, sometimes red onions. Got it all in there. I let them cook for like 2 hours. And last half hour, I put a little brown sugar in there. When I tell you it's my give it up greens, I call it give it because when I cook them for women, shit happens.
give it up greens.
I'm telling you. My mom tried to give me some pussy. I'm like, no, Mom. And I already came out. I ain't trying to go back in.
Yeah, yeah.
But my greens, I'm telling you, I won contests with my greens.
Where?
So... my Friends House Foundation, where we feed the homeless every Wednesday, mm-hmm. we had a men's cook-off. When people came, they paid money. All the money went to our foundation.
Yeah,
and I won the contest for side dish. So it was yeah, my greens are, I ain't gonna front. My greens better than my comedy. And my act. Twice as better than my act.
What's the name of your foundation again?
My Friends House Foundation. On social media, it's We Feed the Hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's My Friends House LA. And every Wednesday, I went today. My mom, her birthday today, I wanted to take her to a nice lunch. She's like, no, I want to go do what you do on Wednesdays on Skid Row. Took my mom down to Skid Row, man. Her and my sister.
That's great.
We fed the homies. I call them homies. I don't like saying homeless.
Right.
So I call, we fed the homies today, man. We give them clothes. We pray with them.
How long you been doing that?
They've been doing it for about maybe 6-7 years. I've been an associate maybe the last 3 or 4.
That's great, man.
But yeah,
can people get involved? I mean, is there a site people can just...
MyFriendsHouseLA.com. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can just fill out an
app. And anybody comes down, man. I mean, we have a bunch of actors down there, comedians, writers, mm-hmm. producers. T.O. has come down. I mean,
nice.
Farnsworth Bentley has come down. So it's like, it's just come and help out and give out.
And what did you serve to Farnsworth Bentley?
Umbrella cases.
Is he doing all right? Because I haven't seen him in a while.
Hey, Apple Ciroc is out.
Oh, okay. Is he like a shareholder or something?
No, that's his. Puffy gonna look out for. That's the one of his crew. He's gonna look out for.
Oh, okay.
Puffy look out for his people.
I didn't know that.
Puffy don't advertise.
Ciroc is a big company.
No kidding.
So, man. But what you're talking about, those things incorporated into a Christmas movie where the meal is important. Because that's the other thing of a Black Christmas.
Oh, yeah. The meal.
The meal is important.
Yeah.
Like Thanksgiving is, Thanksgiving is the opening act for the Christmas meal.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I just got gypped at this Thanksgiving, matter of fact. And I didn't even take it personally because my aunt went cheap on it and didn't make no dressing.
Yeah,
she made no dressing. I posted it to Instagram.
So post this video.
That's the only time I eat dressing.
Well, first of all, it's a disturbing thing when you get to a point where you realize your parents are getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I am actually at that age now where every year they do something that's older. and next year they're going to do something that's elder.
Yeah.
And then in the year after that, it's going to be like, you're just that much closer to death. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
My mom is 66.
True,
I taught her how to copy and paste last year.
Oh, my God.
So, like, in my head, I was like, oh, you're pretty much dead.
My mom's text font size is like 30.
It's funny you say that because as my dad started getting older and he got, the sugar, which means diabetes. My mom had to change.
I found that out from Lavelle Crawford. Thank you, Lavelle.
My mom had to change how she cooked. So it was no more ham hocks, she had to start putting turkey bacon in the damn greens, and she had to cook differently, and she couldn't use as much salt. So
not as fun.
You know, it's not as fun. The food was, and you don't want to tell mom, your food is starting to suck. But it's keeping dad alive.
So. Right. So
pick one. Let me get the mac and cheese over there.
Right. Wait, so now you said Thanksgiving is not even, so is that kind of
the opening act?
I mean, because
Thanksgiving's great, but Christmas, just, I tell you, it's
Thanksgiving for white people. That's what you all get.
That's what I want to ask.
Well, I mean, we don't like to celebrate that. Christmas is a little bit different.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving, that's when we celebrate, you know, that we are the champions.
Oh, what? Wow, that looks amazing. I'm looking at this man's freaking greens right now. This is so in the future. Yeah. Wow.
Julio, can you put your pants back on, man?
I'm a foodie. Listen, let me tell you something. I made pretty much half my money this year from the Food Network. I'm a foodie.
Yeah, that's right, man. Dude. Yeah.
I didn't really... I've done 4 shows for the Food Network. I did I did Worst Cook in America. I was on... I got a one coming out on December 9th, as a matter of fact. Andy Richter's Dinner Party.
That's gonna be stupid.
It's a funny show.
I mean, it's stupid in a good way.
In a very good way. Yeah. They're probably gonna call you. You'll be next. I did Guilty Pleasures.
Yeah.
I've done 4 episodes of Guilty Pleasures.
I used to like doing dinner in a movie.
Paul and Annabelle.
That was pretty
TBS.
Cool. So you cook, watch a movie, discuss the movie.
Okay.
We watched Life one time and broke down Life and was cooking Cornish hens.
That's one of my favorite movies ever.
Right,
and
you cook something appropriate to the film. Almost.
I feel like that's a world you totally could really just like. Excel.
Dominate,
I mean, the food, bringing, some...
We're gonna have some fun. You know, I'm talking to some people right now, and we'll see what happens with one of the pitches, but one of the interesting things about... I think if something tastes good, it tastes good to anybody.
Yeah.
But the problem is, depending on where you're from, if you know what it is going into it, then all of a sudden the person turns into a 2-year-old child. It's like, no.
You don't put that in my mouth. Yeah.
Like, you just can't serve, you can't serve black person from the hood escargot.
Yeah.
They're just not eating it. Yeah. You tell them it's snails, they're done. Yeah. I don't care how you prepare. You tell them it's snails, it's
have you seen
rat.
That? Have you seen that go down? Because that seems like that would be great.
If you tell me it's rabbit or something like that, I ain't eating that. Yeah, it's just rat. And it's like, if they didn't know, I think they would actually expand their horizons.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
I've seen that many times with white people when they go and eat Mexican food. Because some of that stuff, it's like, oh man, this is really...
I'm from L.A., so that shit, I was weaned on that.
Yeah, so it's like, this is really...
I need to experience that until I got here.
Yeah, what's this soup called? Menudo? What?
That's a group from the 70s.
Yeah, it's like,
didn't they open for the Gypsy Kings?
Yeah. What's in this soup? Oh yeah, that's cow stomach lining.
Tripe. It's tripe.
Yeah, tripe, yeah.
Yeah, tripe sandwiches in St. Louis. They had a tripe shop. All they sold was tripe. I mean, they didn't know they were selling death, but it was they were selling tripe. Right. Tripe sandwiches. My mom used to love tripe sandwiches. Wow. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Like the one thing that I don't mess with, I don't mess with chitlins.
I've never had chitlins.
I don't mess with chitlins.
My dad would not allow chitlins in the house.
What are chitlins?
Yeah, yeah, Brad. Wait, what are
they? Okay,
chitlins.
Can we play the song over my explanation of what chitlins are? This is, to me, the greatest black Christmas song of all time. Okay. And I don't think he's going to disagree though. Did I get it right?
Guys dancing.
This might be happening. This might be the song we go out on.
Yeah. Tell them what song this is, guys.
This Christmas.
Turn down just a little bit. Now, who is this?
This is This Christmas by Donny Hathaway.
And it's been covered many times.
Yes.
Many ways. But go ahead and tell your chitlins. Tell what chitlins are.
Okay,
what are
so chitlins? Look. When it comes to these chitlins, dog, chitlins
I like
are
how you
pig
said it.
Yeah. Intestines.
Wow.
Do you understand me?
Yeah. Right.
Intestines.
And what goes on in the intestines?
And that's where the brown travels through.
Right.
Okay?
That's where the browns go before they go to the Super Bowl.
Anybody who cooks chitlins, you have to cook them in the garage. You cannot even cook them in the
house. But before you cook them, what do you have to do, Jaleel?
I don't... You break it down, bro.
You have to clean them. It's big intestines.
You gotta clean the chitlins
wet. It's intestines.
Because it has shit in it.
So yes. You're gonna clean the shit out of the intestines.
You gotta clean...
Then cook them in the
garage. Literally, you gotta clean the shit out of the intestines.
Wow.
Out of the chitlins. And then my dad wouldn't allow them in the house, so my mom never cooked them. But I dated a girl one time.
And her dad cooked them in the garage.
And I was in the house, but it made it through the house, though.
Why would you cook anything you have to cook in the garage?
It smelled like Bruce's drawers after he got through working out on a treadmill for 3 hours.
Save that.
Smelled like ass. And this is the thing. This is my gauge. Because, you got to clean those chitlins.
Yeah.
So you got to clean the hell out of them. And I dated a girl one time who tried to invite me over.
No,
she tried to come over. She's like, I'm having chitlins. And I'm like, okay. I remember going over her house, and she wasn't the tidiest person. I'm like, don't invite me over your house for chitlins and your bathroom dirty. Don't invite me over your house and your bathroom dirty. Because if you ain't cleaning your bathroom,
right.
You damn sure ain't cleaning them damn chitlins. And I was going to try them, too. I was going to give it a shot.
Chitlins are the staple.
They should be called shitlins. Like, I don't know why they call them shitlins.
Like, really. If I were to, if I were to make that movie, I wouldn't miss that beat. Like that, right. Uncle would be cooking these chitlins,
right.
and the kids would just be, oh my God, we can't even stand here and play.
You gotta have a look in the bathroom. You gotta have almost like a John Witherspoon type character.
Yeah.
And you cook them chitlins.
Brad, yes.
That's me doing John Witherspoon. Yes, that's not me doing
it. Do it again.
Gotta cook them chitlins. You got to coordinate.
Yeah.
You got to coordinate when you cook them chitlins.
But Jaleel, you're on it, man. You got to have all those little nuances. Yeah. If you're going to make a black classic Christmas movie, and for you all, for white people to understand, black classic. Derek got that. It's a football game.
That's what I said. It doesn't matter if you're a Mexican, if you're white, whatever. Right. If you saw what that was on screen, you would laugh.
Yeah.
You'd be like, are these people really cooking pig intestines and calling it Christmas?
Yeah. But you know why? you know why we had to eat those? Because that's all y'all gave us. We were slaves.
Yeah. So they just, yeah.
Okay, this has been Guy Tony and Jaleel White.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Spears.
We do got to wrap up.
Yeah.
We could go another 2 hours.
I know,
man.
I told
but
you.
I feel like I've learned so much, though.
Wait till the movie come out.
Yeah, dude. I can't wait, man.
We'll have to do I feel like we need to make a tradition out of this. And it doesn't have to be so black and white as far as the holidays.
You ain't gonna run from it.
But maybe next we do Black St. Patrick's Day and see what you guys do.
We don't do St. Patrick's.
Black Easter.
Oh, that's another one.
Oh shit!
Because you get your lights cut off by the Easter suit to go to church. Yeah, you got to look good on Easter, because that's the one time some people go to church.
Want another guest on that one.
Guy might want another guest. Black Easter, now, come on.
But
another black person that would be more quick to discuss what really goes down on Easter.
Where can our listeners find you, Guy Tori?
Find me on Instagram and Twitter, at Guy Tori, GUYTORRY. And also follow the new one, Fat Tuesdays, GT Fat Tuesdays.
Once a month.
We're building something beautiful again, man, Fat Tuesdays. So please follow us on that social media handle. It's GTPHATTuesdays. The website's .com, but the acronym is at GT Fat Tuesdays.
Love it.
Hell yeah, dude.
I am at Jaleel White, Jaleel White on Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'm listening. I promise you, I'm on TV somewhere.
Check your local listings. Check your Jaleel listings.
I actually feel guilty promoting myself. I'm on TV somewhere.
We'll do it. If not, you'll see him driving around your town in a Scion.
He will be there. Do you all put your name like DirecTV? You have DirecTV?
Yeah,
put your name in and everything that you're in, it all
comes
records.
Up. Yeah,
I love that shit. Then you impress a chick because I'm shallow like that. Put your name in.
I haven't done that in front of a woman.
I just go to my list. Say, oh, let me catch up on The Voice, and then my name would come up like, oh, Four Guy Tori movies. That's shallow.
Did you hear that, ladies? If Guy Tori has his DirecTV up and Giving Up Greens out, you are fucked.
Yeah, literally.
That means Netflix is up next, bitch.
And I'm a vegetarian. Vegetarian.
This has been one of the most fun pods we've done in a long time. I'd say happy holidays, but.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Happy holidays.
Whatever you damn celebrate.
Crown
and Bailey. Happy
what
Crown
and Bailey. What does ISIS celebrate?
Getting killed, hopefully.
I hope so.
I'm on that. I'm a proud American. I do not condone that.
Exactly. Kill him.
This year, I'm celebrating Black Christmas. I don't care.
Me too. Right.
I'm going to do it. It's not so much fun.
Brad, take us out as John Witherspoon saying, we're doing your Black Christmas salute or happy holidays wishes.
Everybody over, got them chitlins, got to eat them pork feet, got to have them greens, got to have to get real greens, man. You got to get real greens. And then you got to listen to Jackson 5. That is Black Christmas.
You take us out with a song, man.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one.
That's it.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. My world is filled with cheer and you. That was...
Man.
You ain't lying.
You know you're shining time. I know.
We're caroling through the night.
Really good.